Boo Boo Podcast, episode 43, featuring the one, the only Mr. Tony Hale. Mr. Tony.
I love that. Featuring the Mr.
So Josh isn't here. Josh is shooting a commercial in Las Vegas. We are here in my hot garage, the rat garage as of right now. If you see the,
do you have rats?
Yeah, I'll probably.
Really?
We had some guests in the last couple weeks that kept looking over my shoulder and saying, we see them crawling.
Oh, God.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm really good.
So it's funny. I forget who, we had a guest in here a couple weeks ago that we were like having a good conversation, and then the mic came on, and then it got like mic conversation.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I've like known you by face and like chit chat conversation from around. And I don't know. Let's chat. Let's make this like a hangout. Like, hey, man,
sure, let's do it.
Let's get to know each other a little bit.
Let's
get some rats. Yeah, yeah. So we're talking about Hollywood.
Yes.
let's get down to business. We're talking about Hollywood.
We're just gonna dive right in.
Let's dive right in. No, okay. So you're from Florida.
I am from Florida. I was raised in Tallahassee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And
your parents?
My parents. Nice people. Well, my dad was in the Army, and he retired in Florida and started working for the state. And then, so I spent most of my kidhood in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. And then I went to Samford University in Alabama.
Yeah,
in Birmingham.
It's like Stanford.
It's like Stanford. It's like, but a lot more white trash
and different letters in the name.
Yeah, that has something to do with it. And then, so then from there I went to New York and yada yada yada.
How's do you miss New York at all? We were just in New York at the beginning of the summer.
Were you?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the summer.
It feels like this in here. Like, this is New York. It feels like
this is kind of what the subway feels like.
Yeah.
Like, too. It's just like a hot box. However, I do love that's. If there's something, I mean, granted, the city's great and there's a lot to see. I was there for 9 years. I don't know if I'd ever want to live there again. It's really fast and it was great in my 20s. But I do miss the subway. I miss the, it's very accessible. It makes things really accessible.
You were doing theater and all that out there a
yeah.
lot. You were with, who are some church people that you were there with?
I was there
you were with, I think there's some, John, Artist John.
Yeah.
Right?
John Ingrid.
Yeah, John Ingrid. Our kids go to the same preschool.
Oh,
they
yeah.
did. They just graduated a year behind.
We did. We actually went to the Village Church together a long time ago.
Okay.
And so them, and I'm trying to think, who else?
Did you know a guy named Bearden Coleman?
Yes, I know Bearden. Did you go to Baylor?
I went to Biola.
Oh, okay.
And so Bearden was in a country rock band.
Did he go to Biola?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that, because he married a very good friend of mine, Laura, who we were close friends from Florida, and she moved to New York.
Okay. I just remember John saying that he knew Bearden, and he mentioned you. He's like, I knew Tony back there.
So Joseph knows Bearden, too.
Yeah.
So you went to school with Joseph?
Yeah, Joseph's a couple years older than me, but one of my good buddies, this guy Dave Klukas, this like country music guy who's in Austin.
I think Dave was in Bearden's wedding, wasn't he?
It must be, but had to have been. They were in this country band together.
Yeah, because but now Bearden is teaching...
like lit or something like
he's
that?
He's teaching film and literature,
okay.
Actually, at King's College.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a really good guy.
It's a quick small role. Yeah, yeah. He was in this country band. And I just remember this thing with him where... And I like Bearden. Defamation on Bearden, but he was like he was a good guy, he was in a good band, but he was talking about how he would like run like 5 miles and then come back and like shoot some Southern Comfort and have a pack and have a couple cigarettes. It's like this like alt country like workout regimen that you do when you're 22 years old.
Yeah. He's a really really good guy, but he was just like a little powerhouse because he's such a talented musician. And he played the guitar, and then I can see that. Then he'd just be like, you know what, I'm gonna run 5 miles and just go.
That's really funny. And Dave was in Joseph's wedding, I believe, or vice versa, or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
I don't know. If it's the same Dave, I think
it has Dave
from Bearden's wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Small room.
Very small room.
That's really funny. So you're back there for.
Wait, so you graduated by all the when?
2002. I'm like 10 years younger than you. Young.
God.
I just have a beard and I'm going bald. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And I was having lunch with a friend yesterday, And he's a new friend, and we were talking, and he said, "How old are you?" And I said, "I'm 42." And he goes, "Oh, my parents are 46.
Oh, shut up. Like,
oh, my God. What's happening?
Was it a church guy or?
It was a...
Just a guy.
Friend, no, friend of a friend.
Okay. Funny. Yeah, no.
That's what we label them, church guys. Church guys.
Church guys. You go to church. That's not, mm-hmm. It's no secret.
I do go to church.
Secret church goer. Secret Hollywood church.
We're in hiding.
Here and there. Told about you and Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
Two people in Hollywood go to church. Damn, Lynn. No, but yeah, no, I, so you were in New York for a bit, and then I always think of New York as, like, one of those places where, like, everything's, like, not one of those places, the one place where everything, when we were there this last summer, everything's, like $2 to $5 more expensive, but, like, kind of tastes $2 to $5 better, like, occasionally, like, at least, like, where we were at, like,
I think it's also, food's good, just so much variety, like, yeah. You can just get, you can get whatever you want on your block, you know, and it's... And if there was a time when I gained the most weight, it was in New York. And even though you walked constantly, because everybody would be like, "Oh, I'm gonna lose so much weight because I walk everywhere." Thing is, you walk and then you just see, like, "Oh, there's a pastry shop. I'm just gonna grab that entire slice.
Delicious thing.
I need another slice of pizza, even though I just had one 5 minutes ago." So I gained a ton of weight.
Where'd you live? Did you meet your wife out there?
I did. I met Martel in. She was working on, she's a makeup artist, and she was working on Saturday Night Live at the time.
Mm.
And we met, and she lived in Chelsea, and I lived in Harlem most of the time I was there.
Okay, yeah.
And I loved Harlem.
300 chops.
Huh? That's where I get my chops.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. No, it's, yeah.
That's where I get my street cred.
That's where I get my street cred. So when did you come out to California? Like what?
2003 is when I was doing commercials and I was doing off Broadway theater. And then the audition for Arrested Development came in 2003. And then, you know, it was one of those shows that you read it. And I had not been going out for any pilots. So, I mean, I would have taken anything, you know. So I read this show and I was like, "God, this is, like, really good." You know, this is like, because I was, it kind of had that flavor of, like, a Christopher Guest, you know. It was very quirky and... So I was really stoked about it, but you kind of keep it at a distance because you don't want to invest too much emotionally, and I did it, and then, you know, they called me out to LA, which was crazy, and then I booked the job, which was crazy, and then I got picked up, which was crazy, and then we moved out.
So you flew out then, like at that?
Yeah, and that's how we got out to LA.
Oh, that's wild. So that was what, would you say it was?
That was 2003.
Okay.
And 10 days before we got married, the show got picked up.
No way.
So then I had to break the news to my wife, which... was not too happy about that we had to move out to LA.
Well, so she was cool with it though?
She's cool with it now. I mean, she had a great job and she loved New York. She had been there much longer than I had been there.
Yeah. Where's she from?
She's from Alabama though. Okay. She had been in New York for about 13 years and...
Did you guys meet in Alabama?
No, we met in New York.
Okay.
And so...
That was your pickup line? Are you from Alabama? She said yes.
You a hick? I'm a hick. That's the state. But she... But, you know, she graciously came out to L.A., and it took some time. I mean, it always, L.A. from New York, I love it now, but it's a big adjustment. You know, it's so much, and everybody says this, it's so much more spread out. And back to that, New York is, you can get anywhere in 20 minutes on the subway.
Yeah.
And it's just here, it really takes some getting used to. And wherever you live is your community.
Where'd you land when you came out?
We were in Santa Monica, and then after that we moved to Playa Vista.
Okay.
On Jefferson.
So for people that aren't in LA, that's like we're on the east side, so like you were like in Utah pretty much compared to like where we are now. Like,
and then
it's
we,
like,
moved to Utah.
It's like wildly.
Yeah, we were on the west, and also most of our friends were on the east side, and it took an hour to meet them to go out to dinner, and it just wasn't, you know, and I like the west side, but it just wasn't where kind of our friends were.
Yeah.
So then we moved to the east side, and it made things a lot easier.
Yeah. What?
And now we're in Los Feliz, right around the corner from you.
Yeah, good times. No, it's really fun. So, what, you guys, so you guys moved out, and you started Arrested Development, which is a TV show. I, my wife a little bit better. Just that she's more vocal than I am. I kind of like hide. I don't hide like anywhere else.
The thing is, we've just never really talked that much.
No,
you're pretty vocal.
I get creeped out at church a little bit sometimes.
Do you?
Well, I grew up in the church. I grew up in, not in the church that we go to, but and I really like it, but it's weird when you go to, I think Biola is weird for me because you go to a place where you
like, that's a Christian university.
You're forced to go to chapel three days a week. Like you have to, like you find out schemes to like work your way around it. Like
I think it's with church. What Martel made the point, my wife, and it's true. You're in church. You're kind of forced to be in contact with people that you wouldn't like. You know, typically in life, you kind of choose. I kind of gel with that person. You know, what's the kind of, there's something about church where you're around a lot of different people. And sometimes it can get probably overwhelming.
Well, and I've got a lot of like good friends that have like, you know, from Biola that have dispersed to like different places and different churches and things. You know, like my like Lutheran buddies and like, you know, guys are going to this church or that church or whatever. Just people that are, you know, aren't going to church anymore or what have you.
Yeah.
And it's weird to like wrap your brain around like now I have to invest in like these people that I don't know at all, but I've got these other community, these other people, and it's like now I have to like make new friends, or what have you,
I think it's great though because it's probably the one community that there I have friends that I would never have had if I didn't go to that church.
Yeah.
Because you know you typically do kind of stay around like-minded kind of people.
What brought you up going there?
Going to church?
Yeah. Or just going to Ecclesia or going to whatever. Like, were you at Hollywood Presbyterian or before?
No.
This is a way in conversation. All of a sudden, this is turning into like people have to like someone in like at, like St. Louis is like, what's Tony El Taco? This is stupid.
Why did they start talking about it's good. Church?
Listen to the Dave Koechner episode and you're drinking and way too much.
When we got here, I mean, obviously, my faith is everything to me. It's very important. And
you're like a deacon.
I'm not anymore.
You got the boot.
I got the boot. I couldn't think in. They're really kind of, the logistics of the church, like kind of budget stuff, just stressed me out. Anyway, so I don't know how we came there. Because we've been there that one for about 6 or 7 years.
My first time seeing this sounds really stalkery, but I'm going to tell you the story.
Dude, I love stalkers. Funny. I don't mean a stalker.
It was the weirdest thing. It was at the Santa Monica like building, like whatever. The giant cross in front of it and whatnot. With the giant execution device.
We're a church!
Yeah. I look over, and so, kid you not, there's this Asian kid that has a Freonion shirt on or whatever. And I'm like, that's kind of funny. And this is maybe like 5, 6? I don't know. Well, Robin and myself were married, so it would have been like 06, 07. Maybe the show was still floating around. Whatever. And I see that, and I'm like, That's like, it was like a homemade shirt. It was like this guy like ran something off the, like, you know, like the print screen like thing. And then I looked to the back and I'm like, oh, huh? Like literally like from that to like, that's a funny joke to like, what's he doing here? What's
that guy doing here? Why is Buster Bluth at my...
It was a really weird, like, bizarro world. It was like a sitcom moment of like, I'm seeing this. Yeah. It's a weird, weird.
And it's always funny that kind of, not necessarily at church because, you know, I've been going there so long it doesn't happen a lot, but it's when I go, like I was recently in Savannah and I was in this coffee shop and you can see if somebody's a fan of the show, you can see their world start colliding.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, why are you in a coffee? Why is Buster Bluth in a coffee shop in Savannah?
Is that weird? Like, do you ever talk to like Ron Howard and say, "Hey, Ron Howard, like, what's it like being you?" Because I'm you now. When you were you in 1967, and kids couldn't, you know, get their brains wrapped. I mean, because like, it's funny because like I know you from church and people around, and we live in LA, and it's not like a weird thing.
Right.
But that is it's got to be kind of weird for some people. Like, are you cool with it, or is it?
Yeah,
like,
I'm totally cool with it. I think it's. I will say I'm really glad, this is me getting deep all of a sudden, but I'm really glad that I, you know, got what I was, you know, given what I was given at a later age. Because I think if you're given it at an early age, I think you grow up with everybody around you going, oh my gosh, I love you, I think you're so fantastic, oh, I love you, I love this, And you don't have the boundaries, because when somebody says that, you think, oh, you love me? Well, then I must be lovable. Like, oh, well, then, and that's how you begin to define yourself. Like, that's how your identity is then formed. And then, as we know in this business, it's cyclical. All that goes away. And then they grow up and they're like, who am I? I don't know. I've been defined by all these people. And then, am I lovable? I don't know who I am. So I think that can really, really tweak people. Clearly. Yeah. If looking at some child stars, not Ron Howard, but some child stars. And so I'm very glad that I was able to get it, because it's weird in general. It's nice to get it at a later age.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. No, for sure. What was that like? Was there any like defining moment or word that kind of like tripped you out, or any sort of like? I was thinking of like I always think of the there's this really horrible. Actually, it's kind of good. I'm not really sure. Like Beach Boys movie. I'm a big Beach Boys fan.
I can see that. You kind of look like a Beach Boy.
Yeah, when my beard gets bigger, I'm a little Mike Love-ish. Kind of the receding hairline, but like, you know, like the, you know, the
tan,
all that. Sure. No, but like, they were, you know, they're driving around the beach and the song comes on the radio. Did you ever have like a song on the radio moment for yourself? Or?
I can honestly say that first 2.5 years of me doing the show, I was in such a overwhelmed state that I'd never been on a lot. I'd never been to a Hollywood party. I didn't really know, and you kind of knew what a mark was. I didn't know. It was very new to me. So I was just trying to catch up and try to look like I knew what I was doing when I really didn't know what the hell I was doing, and kind of look like I was comfortable when I really wasn't comfortable, you know? And so it probably wasn't until the third year that I began to relax a little bit and just kind of chill out a little bit.
Were there any moments like in the show that kind of like, you thought, like, what am I doing here right now?
Well, I think one big thing that I do, this is me.
Again, because that's me. I'm not trying to, like you're a professional. I'm not saying, like, I would be like,
what am I doing right now? I get it. No, because one thing I do, and I shared this on another podcast I do, one thing I do like to share is a big lesson that I learned.
Mm-hmm.
And a big lesson I learned was my entire time in New York, all I ever wanted was a sitcom. That's it.
Yeah.
And you know, I had fun, but I was just like, that sitcom's coming. I remember pilot season, which was a time when all these shows are shot. It would just always come and go. I couldn't find a TV and film agent, and I was always frustrated, but I was like, that sitcom's coming. And when the sitcom came, which was Arrested Development, I kind of went through I won't say depression, but it was a very disappointing, like, just thinking like, wait, this isn't satisfying the way I thought it was going to satisfy. And the reason it didn't satisfy is nothing can match the expectation that I had placed on this thing.
Yeah.
And it was that whole lesson of, if you're not practicing contentment where you're at, you're not going to be content when you get what you want.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a discipline. I'm not good at it at all, but I'm at least aware of it and I acknowledge it. But I think about all that time in New York that I was like, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I just feel like I kind of missed out on a lot of stuff because I was just too far ahead. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No,
and
sure.
And I think that could be anything. It could be a sitcom, it could be a baby, it could be that perfect relationship, that perfect whatever. We just find ourselves, and the fact is, I received my dream. Like, that was my dream.
Yeah.
And when you get to your dream and it didn't satisfy, you have to do a little rethinking and be like, oh, I need to practice, whatever I'm doing, I need to practice contentment. And then that makes everything else just icing on the cake.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know?
I remember the first time I saw the show that was almost your icing on the cake, but then wasn't and didn't lead to everything. I just saw The Rat, sorry.
Shut up.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not joking.
He passed on the back. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Would you say that he's becoming, your rats are more family, or they're more afraid of you, or you're afraid of them? Or
I've got this, they're like a furry creature, you know, so I don't want to kill them.
That's a long furry creature.
It's a long furry creature with a weird tail. And then I started
he still hasn't turned me.
I'm
still a rat.
But they're, you know, it's like a weird thing where it's like, you know, like there's laws against killing horses, but you can kill a rat by buying something in the grocery store. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
Sure,
you know, of course. So I bought a bunch of daikon. Which I guess is bad, because then you don't know where they die. Like, they're just going to eat this, like...
yeah, but then... Oh, I remember getting... Because here's the thing. Having lived in New York, rats were always in the subway tracks.
Yeah.
So we'd always see them...
cruising
around. They were always kind of in the dark side. And I remember having... It might have been mice, not rats, but we would get these kind of glue traps. And it was always a really inhumane...
Oh, those are rough, because they'll chew their legs off, or they're just there.
Really, 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 really bad.
Yeah.
So, Anyways.
So these will, I guess, eat them out by the inside and make them decompose. Which is kind of fun.
And so, it's just kind of a fun sight. And then they just pass out?
I guess. I don't know. And then die somewhere in my rafters here?
The thing about it.
In the heat.
Sure you've had this experience. Oh, I'm sure you've had this experience, though. I know the smell of a dead rat, dead mouse.
Yeah.
It's a very specific, it's a really specific smell. And I'm sure you've had a lot of that in here.
Yeah, no, actually. Well, this is the first family of rats. I think I've actually.
Oh, this is the first time you've had them.
Yeah. Because
you've been in this house for a while, right?
Yeah, about 5 or 6 years. No, well, no. 2005 is when we moved in. So we moved into those condos, like at the end of Silver Lake, kind of right there. We were there
that's
for a little bit. You shot that, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. You shot so you shot that there. And I remember that was actually a fun experience because we saw you at the church, and I thought, cool, join the church. That's cool.
What the hell is Buster Blitz?
He's on our side.
Gross.
it's all gross. And but then Brandon, I think, set out the Arrested Development DVDs in an awkward place. He put them out to be funny or something. And I got super embarrassed. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I remember that condo. It was like a 3-floor.
Yeah, there was a cool spot.
Wasn't your bedroom was on the very top?
Yeah. Bedroom at the top. It was not good for small children that came shortly after. Lots of tumbling, lots of breaking things would have happened.
Because you're a little one. Wait, what's your name, your little one?
Jack and Simon. Simon's the little guy.
He's
4.5 and 1.5.
God, those are just that 1.5.
You guys just have one kid, right?
We just have one. Yeah. One and done.
Yeah, one and done?
One and
good
done.
Good for you. That's so smart.
One and done.
She's 6 now?
She's 6.5.
6.5 now, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
she's going into first grade.
Where are you guys going to school?
We go to.
Should we bleep this out?
Yeah,
it's kind of wildly personal. Somewhere in the neighborhood. She's not in the Ivanhoe district.
It's in Pasadena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I teach up in Pasadena.
Oh, do you?
Where? I teach at a charter school in Altadena called Avison Global Leadership Academy.
What do you teach?
I teach 7 and 8 humanities, English and history.
And how did you meet Josh?
We went to Biola.
Oh, you both.
Went to Biola. We kind of just always stayed in touch. Did film and all that kind of stuff together. And
totally looking around at a rat's gonna fail.
No, they're in the back. He's buzzed in the at the far wall. Okay. Wait, you know,
I mean, three to four feet
behind.
Completely
embrace him. Yeah,
but it's
he's very far behind. Okay. Yeah. No, we were doing film stuff together, and we were recently rewriting a George Romero script. It's funny. It was a weird experience. Something that his ex-wife had won in a divorce battle and whatnot. We work a lot of stuff together, and so.
And where do they live?
They're in Hollywood. They're in Hollywood Central.
Okay.
In the woods.
Got it.
But yeah. Yeah, Andrew, amazing. Yeah, they've got a great little kid, Lincoln.
She's 6.5, and she's going into the first grade. And it's really, she loves school. And I don't know when that turns. I hope that it doesn't turn. I hope she
doesn't have to.
She just gets so excited about. She just loves it. You know, and I never want that to turn, you know, because then I guess around middle school, I was like, school, but I would love for that to continue.
Yeah. No, for sure. So, back to the career stuff. I don't know. It's fun actually kind of catching up in this crazy heat that's actually in here.
The thing is,
are you okay?
It's you get used to
it. All right. So you're fine. You're okay?
I'm totally fine.
It's sort of.
It's like Bikram.
Yeah, totally. Arrested Development. I don't know. Let's hear some funny stories on the the podcast I was listening to getting ready for this. But the Liza Minnelli stuff was kind of tripping me out. and I know you probably told that a zillion times, but the I don't know. There's something iconic and cool.
Oh, yeah.
About someone
like
her.
For those who didn't hear, Liza came had took us out to lunch and. Sang for us in the backseat of my car, and
I was listening to that, and I had this when I was I used to work at the House of Blues,
oh,
and I had to pick up the Boyz II Men one time.
The Boyz II Men?
The Boyz II Men, as they call them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
No, yeah. And it was like, I was in Anaheim and had to come to LA to pick them up. And when you were talking about that thing, which you would tell us, like, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. Like, the commercial came on the radio, and they all, like, piped up and started, like, harmonizing to, like, Julie, baby back ribs.
Would you say they were good?
They were amazing. Yeah. It was the most amazing in-car commercial live concert I ever had. But
what an experience.
So Liza Minnelli, though.
So she sang, my wife and I were in the front seat, and she sang, she had just done a concert and was talking about it. And I didn't really know her music, and then so she started talking about her music, and she belted out the song Liza with a Z in the backseat of my car. And we were just kind of driving, me and my wife, we're very new to L.A., just like, what universe have we entered now, you know? And then, like, I mean, she could not be a cooler person. Like, she's incredibly cool. And she started, you know, she took us out to lunch, and she told us stories about her mom and how much she loved her mom, and, you know, just this story about her and Vivian Lee and her mom and London, and, you know, you're just like...
I met Vivian Lee one time.
Did you really?
Yeah, we used to... Do you know a guy named Vern Mowen? He's a filmmaker guy. I've got this like weird thing that he did. Maybe he like worked on something.
Is he an editor?
He's a filmmaker now, but I think he was making some bread and butter at doing
editing. Does he know Scott Teams?
Possibly.
Because I knew a Vern, it might have been Fern, but I knew it something Earn in New York.
I'm not sure.
And I want to say, and Scott Teams knows him really well.
Okay, well, is Scott a CIA or?
He's a director.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, we used to, a bunch of us actually, Josh a little bit, and back at Biola used to sneak into, like, award shows and stuff, because it's like a free party. And so we were like, we went to like the Vanity Fair party, and there was this thing called the like.
How did you sneak in?
We had lots of weird ways. I mean, like we had like.
That's quite a skill. I mean, that security's got to be pretty.
Yeah, 9/11 kind of turned things around for us, but there was a period, a golden age, like pre 9/11, like that was pretty fun. But you get like glow stick pick, you know, things like right on your hand and different like laminates and different things. It was a fun thing to do when you're like 20.
Who did you run into?
So I saw Vivian Lee one time.
Oh. She must have been how old when you saw her?
Early 80s? You know, mid-80s maybe? Gosh, wow. Now that I think about it.
Wow.
But it was at this thing called the Night of a Thousand Stars or something like that. It was like the Oscars like offshoot party. It was at the Beverly Hills Hotel or something like that. And it was, I don't know, like Weird Al was there. And, who else? Like,
who Michael did you see like, talking that was kind of interesting? Do you remember, like, do you see a picture of two people talking? You're like, I would never picture them.
Not at that one, but there were some. There was just such a bizarre period. Because we'd be in these award shows. I remember one time, like, a buddy of mine who's now, he's now a full-on Lutheran pastor, like, went to seminary and everything, but he was, leave his name out of it, but when he was 21, and we're at like the Miramax party, at one of these shows, and he decided to start drinking. It was just, like literally his first time drinking.
Wow!
And he starts
at this party,
and he starts like
it was free.
Starts like trying everything. So it's like I want like a martini on the rocks, and I want this shaken, not stirred.
That was the first time ever he had drank.
First time ever drinking.
And he was how old?
20. 21-ish.
Oh my gosh, that's not gonna get pretty.
And he you know, it's like I want this.
Oh.
And it ended with us standing on this like little outside patio area, and I go to my friend and I look and I say, he's a large man in there, like go pitch him a movie. And it was Harvey Weinstein. Like,
no.
Go, come on. He'll blacklist me. I'm like, no, he's cool with it. Go ahead, go. Pitch a movie.
God, you have ballsy.
But right at that time, he's like, I can't. I'm going to throw up right now. I'm like, huh? I'm going to throw up right now. It's myself. Actually, it's myself and, you know, Brian Downey.
Yeah.
His brother, Trevor. We all went to Biola at the same time. And Brian actually was a couple of, you might have been there too. And he's like, I'm going to throw up. I'm like, all right. It was me, him, Trevor, and Jay Muse. We're like the four people hanging out, and I run. We run across the floor, and take him to take care of his business. And I just had this like weird vivid memory of
outside or in a bathroom.
In a bathroom, because it was like 2:01, 2:02, something like that, like the height of The Sopranos. And I remember Darren throwing up and James Gandolfini like peeking over and like chuckling, like walking away. This like weird, like bizarre vision of this iconic figure.
Vanity Fair party.
That was at the Miramax party at the That was the Golden Globes Miramax party.
Oh, I see.
It was it was this weird thing where we all like a bunch of them, but people you probably know from church. You know, Corbin, Poor Boy.
Yeah.
Corbin was a lot of those.
Did she go to my home?
Yeah, she went to my home. Mike Seach, you know Mike Seach at all?
Yes.
You went to, yeah.
Yes.
There's a whole
Mike. Last time I saw him, he had broken his leg.
You might he just did it again. I don't know if you've seen him recently. He just like broke his Achilles.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Okay.
But
they're going to a Lutheran church up in
Fascinating.
Now
I've seen him twice, and I want to say he's had
massive cast, yeah. Casty things.
What's that noise?
That's a cricket. That's going to be really good for the podcast. There's it's really amazing.
I bet the rats probably take care of that.
I would think you would hope they're hunting rats of some sort.
I'm sure they've heard that noise.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly. So we're talking. So tomorrow, you guys go in. This is a weird jump, and I don't really care because
my friend Stephanie Courtney, who I haven't seen in a long time, who's a really talented actress. She's Flo on those Progressive Insurance
plans. Oh yeah.
Her stand up always made me laugh in New York because she would transition to another topic, and all she would do is she'd have a transition bell. And she just played the bell, so she didn't really have to have a transition.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she just did the bell and then hit a totally different topic.
Well, don't get me wrong. Like I love Arrested Development, the TV show, and I'm actually intrigued about like what's going down. And you probably can't really talk about some. And can't.
I get this question a lot. I genuinely don't know anything.
We spent a whole episode with Michael Gladys, who's a good buddy. Not talking about Mad Men, so I was gonna like do that with you, where I'm like not talking about like Arrested Development, but I'm like, I'm kind of curious.
I wish I had more answers after.
You guys are shooting tomorrow though, which is kind of fun. Thank you for coming out.
It's my first day tomorrow, I'm really excited about that. And the cricket stopped. I wonder if the rat got him.
Probably just chopped on.
He took care.
Thank
of
you.
That's right. But I'm it's gonna be very. Very surreal. Like it's especially since we're shooting at Culver City Studios.
It's like going back to high school.
Yeah, which is the first studio we shot the pilot at, and we shot the first season at. So that's going back to 2003. So it's
it's like 10 years. It's wild.
10 years, yeah.
Because it seems so fresh. I mean, not that that's like not fresh. It's like wavy gravy, talking like 1967 or something.
But it's true. I mean, because I think about. My time in New York, and I was there, 8-9 years, okay? That seemed like, I love New York, but it seemed a long time.
Yeah.
I've been here for 9.5 years, and it feels like it's just flown by. I don't know if that happens when you get older, but it's just...
Yeah,
like,
time it's just, weird.
I mean, and also, I think of those 4 years in college at Samford.
Yeah.
That seemed like an eternity because you changed so much, and you're independent for the first time, and, all that kind of stuff. That was just 4 years. I mean, it's not like it was 10.
Yeah, yeah. No, stuff just wildly. Have you been hanging out with the guy? Like, do you guys get drinks?
The Arrested?
Or? Yeah, yeah. Do you guys keep in touch and stuff, or
we see each other. Like, they reunited the cast last fall, The New Yorker, at this New Yorker Film Festival, and I got to see everybody. We kind of, like, everybody kind of does their own thing, but when we see each other, it's great to see each other.
It's so funny. It's got to be kind of cool to be on like a sitcom, if you call it that, that like gets in like the New Yorker. Like this isn't like a Mike and Molly or something. Like, no, that's Mike and Molly.
This is what's interesting though about it is when you're having done it, it's weird because when people talk about Arrested, it's almost like, and granted, it's a fantastic. I mean, Mitch Hurwitz is. Crazy talented. Like it's crazy how gifted that man is. But when you're doing it, you don't really, it's just, I was just thankful for the gig. And then even after it, when people talk about it, it seems very different than what I experienced, because it was, I was playing a fun character and doing a job. And like, for instance, I think just recently someone listed all like 50 inside jokes that nobody has known about or something about Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I think two of those I got. Like, I didn't get any of the other ones. You know, so I don't, maybe it's just because I was so overwhelmed. I loved the show, but it's funny when people talk about it, it's almost a disconnected feeling because it just felt, at the time, it was just, you know, a job, and I'm very thankful for it. And, you know, and now it's just, it's fun to be reuniting
with. No, for sure, for sure. What's the deal with it? What do you guys do? You guys doing Netflix thing?
Yeah, right? Netflix has picked us up for, there's a cop out there.
Sorry.
I love that you apologize. Sorry. Yeah, I really, really appreciate you control that.
I'll take care of it.
Get on your phone. Netflix picked us up for 10, and then I've heard some storylines, but again, because I've said this before, that the main thing that I love about the show, not the main thing, but one of the main things, is I love the element of surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought, you know, I lost my hand, I dated my, all these really fun things. And so I almost don't want to know any information because I want to go in that day and see the script and be like, holy shit, you know, this is what's going to happen to Buster. And I could never have even guessed that would be. I want that moment.
It's pretty fun. Do you fancy yourself just an actor, or do you kind of write?
I wrote a script with my friend Russell. It's
Westbrook.
So
Russell Westbrook, the basketball player.
Oh yeah, him and I are tight, and which is a really talented writer.
Superman Bergman.
Yes, we wrote the script, and it was a fun. I mean, and. Yeah, so I do. My favorite thing about it is dialogue. Enjoy dialogue.
Do you have you wanted to like shoot anything yourself? Or
no,
like,
I don't think I ever want to direct.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to direct theater.
Yeah. What's your theater about? I mean, you jumping back, you know, a little bit. So you did theater in New York and stuff like that. What was your experience with that? Have you done any theater since you've been in L.A.?
I haven't done any theater since L.A., but in New York, I mean, it was way off Broadway, but just fun, and I mean, just like, it's just a real buzz, and I say I direct theater because I have huge admiration for film and TV directors because you're spinning so many plates, yeah. And I don't think I can multitask that well. I mean, I don't think, I just feel like you'd be rocking in a corner knowing that someone's pissed at me about something, you know? So I think theater, it just feels a little more intimate. It feels a little more kind of controlled.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a venue that I think I can handle.
No, totally. What else? I mean, how's Beef going?
Cricket's back.
Cricket's back.
Cricket! Cricket. By the way, just for those people who are listening, there's a Davy Crockett jacket.
We've been watching a lot of Davy Crockett with my son.
Hanging on the side of the garage.
It's a delightful buckskin jacket. My mom got that. I was asking for a buckskin jacket in high school. I thought it'd be cool.
Yeah, I can see how that'd be. The fact that you had your friend even asking him to pitch a script to Harvey Weinstein and that you would wear that in high school, your balls are much bigger than mine.
No, I'm still hanging out in the garage and you're on Arrested Development.
Please, no. I'd want this kind of.
You were in Flatland.
I wonder if you know those people. Do you know Jeffrey Travis?
No. All I know is I had to read Flatland in my Biola Nature of Math class that they made all the English majors take.
Oh.
That was our here's what math is sort of like. And I saw Tony House in Flatland. It's amazing.
It was these little, you know, shorts that Jeffrey Travis did and produced and with a few other people. And I mean, they're really well done animation, and I love that somebody would have the dream just to put, and they have a lot of their audience is teachers, like math teachers, and they just have the drive to, I want to put, you know, Flatland in a short, and now they have Sphereland, the follow-up.
It's pretty amazing. Wait, are you in Sphereland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in the sequel.
See, wait, Veep. I've been watching Veep all week because I have HBO Go right now.
I have HBO Go. What do you think about HBO Go?
I think it's amazing. Have you? We were watching. Spent the evening watching Brody Stevens' TV show online. Do you know Brody?
Mm-mm.
You know Brody? Brody's Brody.
No, but now I need to watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's straight online.
It's on HBO Go?
It just goes on the online thing.
Is it called Brody?
It's...
This is going to make me sound like an idiot that I don't know this.
No, it's on your network. I just keep wondering what other HBO shows you're going to pop up on. Like, are you coming on, like, Game of Thrones next season or something?
I'm the new quirky sidekick vampire.
No, but check out the Brady Show. It's actually really good.
Yeah, wait a second. I have, because you know how when you get HBO Go and the little boxes kind of...
It's just to the online thing. It's, like, just an online... It's like him, Zach Galifianakis, like, helps him out with it. Like, it's...
Okay. Yeah, I need to find
it. Okay. It's pretty funny. But, sorry. Beep's good.
I actually saw those guys a couple nights ago because they did a panel at the SAG Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I love all those people. I think Julia is just a fantastic person. Reed Scott, Timothy Simmons, they're just cool, cool people. Matt Walsh. And it's just, that makes the experience just funner. It just makes it more relaxing. It makes it more free. And Julia, you know, I mean,
she's Julia.
She's a veteran, man. And she just, you wouldn't ever get that vibe. Like, she's very, she sees it as just another gig that she's very thankful for and she's having a blast with. And she's also, you know, her kids are her first priority. It's not this business.
That's pretty cool.
You know, and you know, that's rare sometimes in Hollywood. So, I don't know. I just feel very, very, I'm very thankful to be able. We shoot in Baltimore and I leave.
So it's like, it's kind of an offshoot of The Wire, sort of.
It's an offshoot. It's
like a weird.
It's an offshoot of The Wire. The same locations.
Same locations.
Here's the thing about The Wire: is I've seen a couple episodes, but I have not gotten into it like everybody else has. Because
are you allowed to say that as an HBO
probably not
employee?
No, I can say that, you know, because that is that's up there with any cult hit because people are obsessed with
it. Like the other one that you're on. It's like The Wire and Arrested Development. It's like comedy and drama. It's
but
like
people
the two
are obsessed
like weird...
with The Wire. So I mean, me saying this, but I think it's a fantastic show. It's just it so affects me that it stays with me. You know, and it's like some people can watch them and be like, oh, that's a great, and then walk away. But I can't
Robin
forget
Hank.
Those. Touching. I can't forget those images. I can't forget the images. I can't forget those, like, maybe, I don't know if it's an empathy thing, or I don't know, but it's just, it's too much where it just stays with me. It stays with me. And some people can detach. I just can't detach.
What are some of your influences? Like, do you have, like, actorly influences or things that got you into what you're doing that young kids can latch onto and be inspired by?
Well, the young kids wouldn't know who they were.
Milton Berle, Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, who? I'd say comedically, both Tim Conway and Bob Newhart.
Did you like? Did you get into it like from a comedy like background?
I remember watching Tim Conway on the Carol Burnett Show, and this is the absolute truth. I remember just
he's the best. It's amazing.
He's the best, but it was also it felt effortless.
Yeah,
like it didn't feel forced. It felt he could literally just move his shoulder a little bit, and he would just have the audience. And there was just something about his control and his trust of his own stuff that I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And I thought Bob Newhart's the same way. Bob Newhart, I think, was one of the beginnings of awkward silences, just kind of allowing moments to breathe.
Did you listen to his comedy records much at all?
It was mainly the Bob, you know, his shows, but he just sat there, and so did Tim Conway for that matter, just kind of sat there and trusted that the circumstances were funny and heavy enough that people would get it.
Yeah, no, too. I took my mom. My mom was a big Carol Burnett fan. Funniest person I know. It's my mom. And
your mom's a funny person?
Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, wow. How would you define her as funny?
She's just weird, and she's like Bob Newhart, but like a meek mom. Like, she's dry.
So she's got a
weird,
really good comic kind of sense.
Yeah,
so good. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun to be raised with that.
No, it was, yeah. But it's like, it's got like a little bit of class to it. It's not like she was like the zany mom.
Yeah.
It was like very quiet, but reserved.
Let me ask you
something.
I have a question for you. Would you, when you grew up, because I think of a dry sense of humor, I think of kind of that kind of humor, as it can be taken... Oh, sarcasm. Like, typically, you know, my wife and I are very sarcastic.
Sure.
Because we have dry humor. So, I always get concerned with my daughter, like, because they're kids, and you know, you kind of play their game and you laugh at their jokes and stuff like that, but sometimes you kind of bring the sarcasm or kind of the dryness, and yeah. you wonder if they're like, whoa, that's heavy. You know, so did you remember, did you get it at a young age, or did you?
It hit me in high school. It hit me later. It hit me like something like, and I think it was like weirdly hereditary. Like, I think there was something like in me that, and I remember having a conversation with my aunt, who's like a little more forthcoming with like my mom and her and their backgrounds and things, than even my mom is. My aunt would say like, oh yeah, you are like a copy of your mom with like your, like how you, you know, goof and you know, whatnot. And, which is kind of bizarre. So I think there is sort of like a, it's genetics. I mean, kind of. Like you're wired in the same way as your kids.
And you see things differently.
Do you get weirded out by like saying things around your kid? Like there was this weird period where Jack, not to ask you a question and answer it myself, but,
I just did.
which is fun. My son loves trains, and he's funny and good and whatever, and we make fart jokes and fun and whatever.
Yeah.
But my wife and I have like a
banter.
C+, B- language. I kind of, you know, like occasionally we'll drop like, you know, thing here and there, and not around the kids necessarily, but Jack did. There was a weird phase where he was like dropping trains and going like, shit. And we're like, no. That's what Molly says when she drops the plate on the ground. Not what you say when you drop your train.
Oh, I love that.
I don't know if you guys had any experiences with
that. Well, I would say
child cursing.
Shit is probably my biggest go-to, so I'm surprised.
It hasn't. I want my child to be courteous. Like, I don't want him to be like a sailor, but I also, like, I don't care so much, but it's like a weird, like, there are things you don't go
like
in the,
we
you don't
correct,
play
we
baseball
correct.
In rose bushes.
We correct. I mean, for instance, I have a harder time, but I mean, not that I want my daughter, you know, to go around cussing or anything, but I have a much harder time with like the word stupid, you know, or like,
well, things
something.
That are like actually like affect just, something, some
yeah,
other
exactly,
human
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. So, but we, I don't know. I don't, there's been so many stories with Loy that is so fantastic. One is that, I should have thought about this. I remember I told this on a...
Children are mind-blowing, right?
Oh, they're mind-blowing. I told this on the Craig Ferguson show. And,
I used to work over there.
Did you?
With Kilborn.
Oh, yeah. But she drew the stick figure of me, and it was a stick figure, and then she drew a really large circle in the middle, which clearly was my guy. And then she drew me with headphones, and so Martella and I are convinced that she thinks I'm fat and detached.
That's like psychoanalytic, like talk about like who you are and what you are.
You know, my dad is fat and detached, so you can get really fat headphones.
I'm just fascinated. I mean, because it is like one of, I mean, you did your, you grew up in the South and your
parents. I grew up in the South, yeah. And
not that really matters, because I think it's more of like a, I mean, I imagine your folks were like people of faith and whatnot.
They are, and I was actually raised Southern Baptist, yeah, I was raised Southern Baptist, and we, but it was kind of, you know, it was a very suburban kind of social club. Like it was,
yeah.
And also it was in the South where sports was a religion, so, and I was not really an athletic kid.
Mm.
So my parents made did me a massive favor of seeking out a theater program.
Yeah.
And that's where, and there's this place called Young Actors Theater in Tallahassee, Florida that I really grew up in. That was kind of my high school. Because high school was, you know, it's not like I didn't like it, but it wasn't where I kind of blossomed, I guess. And this theater school is where I really met friends and enjoyed it and all that stuff. So I credit that to my parents, big time.
For sure. We're like weirdly coming to the end of the hour of the
Oh, are we?
And in this hot room and whatnot. I don't know, I'd say this. We should have hamburgers some afternoon.
I'd love
fam,
that.
You know,
I thought you were about to break into kind of like a Lipton 5 questions. I thought you were going to say, well, we're at the end of the hour and we have...
Josh is really good about like breaking into like things you do. You know, like he's all about like the like lists and...
Oh, interesting. What are some lists that he's had?
We had like a singer in who was like from like Hawaii or something like that last week. So yeah, he asked like Shark Week quiz and stuff like that. I just like chatting with people.
I wouldn't know that.
I don't
know. Wait, so do you... I have a question for you.
Yeah, please.
What do you watch? Because I love this question.
Yeah.
What do you get really obsessive about? Like, what do you get excited about watching every week? when it comes to television?
On television,
Are you a Breaking Bad person?
I do. This is a way that I got into like Arrested Development. In the past, like 5 to 7 years, it's like when like a season of something is over, I just dive into that show.
Did you Lost?
What's that? Yeah, so I dug everything about Lost except for the last season of it. I haven't watched it yet. I delved into everything in The Wire. Like, I'm listening to like all the Game of Thrones on audiobook right now, which isn't television. So,
that's interesting.
Which is kind of fun. It's pretty. It's like today I was walking with my child with Simon around Disneyland
with my offspring.
My bastard child. That's what they'd say.
Seriously, listening to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
This is my bastard.
While walking around Disneyland today. So that was my...
You guys go to Disneyland today?
Yeah.
Fun. Do you have season passes?
Yeah, I used to work there, so I had a... I didn't quit. I didn't get fired, but I had like an employee pass until like a year ago. It was one of those things that kind of just hung on for a while.
Because we used to have a season pass, but now the Lloyd's in school full-time, and I don't want to go on the weekends.
Oh, that's a bitch. Yeah.
So we will choose like days maybe to take her out of school, but weekends.
Well, that's fun. We went today from like 9 until like 1:30. And so I just took Simon down, and there's no one there. And it was like, we're in Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, Buzz Lightyear. Took off.
See, that's what's great about a season pass. You don't feel the pressure of having to use that ticket.
It's so draining. So good.
It is draining. Do you enjoy it?
I got a slash card.
Because, not that I don't enjoy it, but when you're a parent, you're thinking about so many different things, and it's hot, and Jim Gaffigan does a great piece about it.
Yeah, I love the lore. Like I used to kind of be like, I don't know, like there's something, I don't know, like I love just the lore of it. Like I love the like... I think Walt Disney's aesthetic is cool. Like, I think it's like cool. Looking at like the old, like I've had buddies who've got to like hang out at like Imagineering and stuff, and like there's some cool stuff, but it's hot and a bitch and like, crazy.
That's just ballsy, nuts. I think. Like, who to invest that much money and say, we're going to do this and keep developing? You're taking a risk that
everything that he did, he basically put everything on the line for. Yeah. So it'd be like he'd do his Mickey Mouse shorts.
Yeah.
And then that was amazing, like a cash cow, but then you'd be like, I want to do a full feature like the animation.
Yeah.
No one had done that before. No. Like, you watch, like, Snow White in 32 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, compared to what, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I love movies, you know, stage, whatever was coming out, in 33, 32, 34. But that was light years beyond anything.
Oh, yeah. And like, there's things about Disney that...
I think people give it too much shit sometimes.
They do.
But it's
Books, because there's a whole underground Disney that I didn't know about, and there's this, supposedly there's this restaurant, this club that only certain people can go to.
You probably can, you're a star. You're a movie star.
What if I was like, I'm going! No, but it's like kind of the higher ups, you know, like, they go, and it's this really, just that whole world of underground Disney that I just kind of learned.
It's kind of fun, but it's hot and a bitch. And
those people in the big furry suits I always
Oh, no, but yeah, no, Breaking Bad, I'm into, Send the Wire, into
Wait, so AMC. You just got into The Wire.
No, I watched The Wire a little bit ago. I'm trying to think of the things I'm, I've got Hell on Wheels in my queue. Watched all of Veep in the last, week. Game of Thrones, I don't know,
up with Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Okay.
There he is.
Oh, my. Sorry. Speaking of
Game, it's like your character in Despero.
I love that right when you were talking about Game of Thrones, the rat walked across.
I mean, the HBO thing, I don't know. Like, what are you into? What do you watch, Tony Hale? TV sitcom star?
What do I watch? Sitcom star. Even hearing that, it's like, no, I'm not.
Kind of weird. Like, are you into, like, because TV is like the new reading books for adults, because no one feels like they have any times anymore, so they just, like, watch episode after episode of, you know.
When do I'm trying to think, like, what do I relax? My wife and sadly, this is sad. We love, there's half of it that's sad and half of it's not. Half of it that's sad is we like reality television.
Such a good brain detox sometimes.
It is a good brain detox. I do not like the shows where they just have a camera on. It's just like, but if there's a competition, like Top Chef. I love Top Chef. I just kind of like the competition shows. And the other thing, if we're going to sit down, like, we really enjoy a good documentary. It's just kind of fun. And she loves Homeland, another show. It stresses me out. She loves that stuff, and I just can't. It's too heavy for me.
Yeah.
But we, and we, like, we just listened to Jim Gaffigan's special, and it's always fun just to kind of, you know, like when you said to your wife, like, what do you want to watch tonight? You kind of peruse through Netflix and see what's
been too long trying to figure something out.
What do you think? No. What do you think? No. Yeah. But that's really fun.
Where can people find you? Do you care if people find you?
Find
you're
me?
You're at Mr. Tony Hale.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I'm not good on Twitter. I'm getting better.
Can I Instagram you?
Yeah, Instagram me. Yeah,
I'm so bad about doing that. I do this, and so I'm.
Wait, so how does Instagram work? You just take.
You're
a
not Instagram.
I'm not on Instagram.
Oh, Tony Hale, sitcom star.
that's setting someone up for failure.
Yeah, no, totally. No, it's fun. It's like you just take a picture. It's like Twitter, but you don't have to like. That's really blurry. It's a shitty picture. Sorry. There you go. That's good. Yeah, there you go. Just it. It's a picture.
Wait, so now is that the kind of thing where you also...
You can, like, tweak out the, like...
how do you tweak it? Like, what do you do?
It's kind of classy right there. There's some glare, and I think there's a rat on the bed.
What if it was right over my shoulder, that rat? Just, like...
Get the rat out of it.
Jump.
Can I call you the great Mr. Tony Hale?
Of course you can.
At Mr. Tony Hale.
Wait, so now, let me ask you, though.
Yeah,
because
please.
I've never done Instagram, ever.
It's really fun, actually.
And is that the thing where it kind of... You can make it look kind of old-timey and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And it's
you just take pictures.
No, but don't people have accounts? Like you kind of see
it's
where,
like a Twitter account. You can link it up to that, and then just kind of shoots over there. I like it better because you don't have to like figure out words. I was spending a lot of time trying to think of like jokes and stuff on my Twitter, and it's like laborious and kind of silly because everyone's doing it. It's kind of like...
I was actually what's interesting is a friend of mine. I was just in Tallahassee with my brother, and there was this high school girl there. Who's the daughter of a very good friend of mine, and she's this very sweet, very smart girl, and she said that all of her friends now want to be photographers, and like that's the trend among kind of high school.
It's a secret downfall of our society.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, I'm going to be a really cool photographer because they're all doing these really interesting, what they think is like fascinating.
Because you click something, and then you click like a filter, and you're
filter,
like,
and it's like an immediate. You know, you look at what 10 years ago they had to spend hours on.
Yeah.
Days. Like, I'm going to be a photographer. And all the students, like, all want to be a photographer. From an iPhone.
Yeah. No, at Mr. Tony Hale.
And Mr. Tony Hale. And
watch Veep. Watch Arrested Development. Buy Netflix. And then watch them on there at some point in the like, next 10 months.
Yeah, and we both, actually, something that Jesse and I have in common, we both bought our glasses from Warby Parker.
Yeah, buy some glasses from Warby Parker. You give one to a homeless person.
If someone needs it. But I really, really like my new glasses. I just got them yesterday.
Look really sharp. Yeah.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
I think my wife is calling. That's our sign-off, as we say. Because my wife is, like, calling. It's going to be either too long.
It didn't sound too mechanical. In my interview style,
I tried to make it to where we were like just chatting.
Good,
like because I like we've known each other sort of around church, and it'd be the like you'd be picking up your daughter, and I'd be picking up Jack from the the church Sunday school, and it was always like the like, hey, it's the hey. In my mind, I'm like wanting a coffee, and you're probably wanting a coffee. We probably could just walk to the coffee together or the bathroom or something.
And to be completely honest, there's that. Time period after church stresses me out because
it's so stressful.
It's a time where you feel really guilty for not having the you feel like you should be having conversations with a lot of people, but it's a lot of people. And I do much better one-on-one.
I'm just trying to bolt sometimes, and Robin's wanting to chat with like Kenya people and this and that, and I'm like, let's go, and I'm like wandering down toward the wax museum, and she's wondering where I'm at.
I need to go to the wax museum again.
Well, next time we'll
next
chat
time
about
we'll
how
each other and
awkward it is, and we'll watch the team together or something.
We'll just focus on it.
Tony,
well,
this
thank
is
you for having me.
It's been kind of fun. Sorry, it was hot, and I
actually
again.
Enjoyed it.
Cool. All right.
I don't mind being from the South. I'm used to kind of this kind of stagnant heat.
Cool. Well, I think my wife is calling. You can listen to Josh on the internet, other places too.
Great.
Bye. That was a great plug for Josh.